You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
The NFL Week 13 DFS show on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is presented by WynnBET. WynnBET is now live in Arizona, Colorado, Indiana, Louisiana, Michigan, New Jersey, New York, Tennessee, and Virginia. From boosted same-game parlays to live in-game odds, WynnBET has what you need to win. Sign up today, bet $100, and get a $100 free bet at sportsgamblingpodcast.com/WynnBET. That's sportsgamblingpodcast.com/WYNNBET. Scotty Stacks, let's kick off this slate, baby. What do we got?
I got to say, BETS, bets, baby. Let's go.
All the bets.
If you didn't know, they legalized sports gambling here in the Maryland state, the state I live in, the great state of Maryland, finally. Oh, my gosh. So maybe WynnBETS will be coming here soon, just like, you know, some of the other places. Both bitter because in California, they have not chosen. They've given the will to the people, actually. They actually have chosen, and they've chosen against him. And that's as sad as an electorate to be that far off, because in so many other areas, you're on California. You do a great job. So.
Yeah, it's the one thing that Californians have no clue about and are brainwashed to hate, because our politicians completely opposed it, because it funnels money away from the California mafia. And so there you go.
The money. Yeah, you need the money if you're going to be the California mafia. So, well, enough digressing. We're going to talk about what we can play, and that's DraftKings DFS. That's what we're here for the Sports Gambling Podcast Network. We don't talk FanDuel. We don't talk anything else. We talk DraftKings, and we're going to run down the main slate for you. I am Nimble W Numbers himself, Scott Simpson, as Bo mentioned. He's Bo underscore McBigTime, Bo McBrayer on Twitter. Go follow him. Go find him if you do not follow him. He's pushing 8,000 followers. This is going to be the year. This next coming up year, you're going to get 8K. I'm excited about it. And then on to 10. So you'll be chasing me down real soon.
Yeah, right. I haven't been losing followers, but I haven't been adding very many at all. Like, I've been holding steady for a long time.
It's been a bear market for followers, I'm not gonna lie. I'm gonna have to go viral a few more times just to get back to even Steven. But we digress. We got a 12 game slate. No more buys, finally. Week 13 on.
There's
full,
buys.
Full game.
There's buys.
None of them. No, okay. I lied. There's Arizona's on a buy. Yeah,
there were no buys last week because of Thanksgiving. Last week.
Who's on a buy besides Arizona? They're just letting them take a break by themselves, right?
Yeah, and week 14, there's a few more. But after week 14, there's no buys.
There's still buys in week 13 and 14? Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, like 2 years in a row, the Colts, week 14 buy 2 years in a row.
That's kind of mean.
It's really mean for JT owners.
Yeah, that's terrible. So, all right, I digress. I'm wrong. I just assume because we've got 12 games that we finally have real football.
Wrong.
But
so I'm so wrong.
Yeah, well, no, I wasn't wrong last week in the clash, but we'll talk about that another time. Let's get in. We've got a 12-game slate, so it's more than last week. We had 11 games last week. Let's start with some delicious, highfalutin numbers here from the Vegas spread. 51 points in the Jacksonville-Detroit game. We saw Jacksonville score like 20 fourth quarter points last week against Baltimore. So we know they can score against defenses that can't stop the run or the pass or whatever it is. Detroit can't kind of do either. What do you think about this game? Are you buying this, or does Detroit kind of fall flat and they don't live up to their end of the bargain?
No, I think I'm buying it, but so is everybody else. This is going to be a chalky game. There's lots of great values here for DFS. And of course, it's going to be a high total game. Neither defense is very good. Both offenses are running hot. They're both offenses that can score a ton of points, both on the ground and through the air. So it's going to be tough to get away from the chalk in this game. So you're going to have to be really creative when you create stacks in this game. Maybe play some off-the-wall leverage plays like Evan Ingram. Zay Jones is not going to be a secret this week like he was last week. It's going to be, you're going to have to play the guys that you like and just hope for the best around him. Well, you're not paying for them. That's why they're so chalky. They're so cheap compared to the other.
You're paying for them in chalk. I'm saying you're paying for them in chalk. Like you're paying for them. You're not alone.
So like you said. Both sides of this game are extremely popular because they're valuable in a high total game. And they're, it's just going to be, it's going to be a chalk fest. You're going to have to play some of these guys to win, but you're also going to have to win elsewhere at other, with your other players.
Yeah. What do you think about Marvin Jones at 2%? He did catch a touchdown. He wasn't heavily targeted. You saw Zay Jones get most of the target share. Is there kind of a suck out GPP hope here, or is that more of just kind of an aberration with that touchdown last week?
You can put him in their player pool, but it's not going to be something you're really that hopeful for because he's not getting any looks. He's just your prayer type dart throw play. It's hard to get excited about a guy who's not really getting any target volume, especially against Detroit, who's really funneling everything to the slot. And that's where Christian Kirk lives.
Ooh.
So Christian Kirk might be the one that's a little less owned because he is more expensive. He's 6,300. Mm-hmm. And Zay Jones is only marked up a couple hundred dollars from last week and he blew it up. And he's going to be super popular. I would lean more towards Christian Kirk and Evan Ingram, even though I hate Ingram. He's a terrible football player, can't catch anything. He's going to be a leverage play in this game.
Yeah, I mean, I think you firmly established your love for Evan Ingram. Anybody on the Detroit side at the tight end, you taking any dart throws? They like to just mix it up. Each week it's a different tight end.
No, absolutely not.
Yeah, it's a roulette type situation here.
DeAndre Swift, Amon-Ra St. Brown, and then surprisingly, we get a little bit of extra receiver help this week for Jared Goff. So Goff might be the pivot here with a stack, maybe with DJ Chark or rookie Jameson Williams, who's going to make his debut. There's your DeSean Jackson type player who can take the top off of defense. Jared Goff says he's the fastest player he's ever played with. That's a guy who played with Brandon Cooks for a number of years.
Yeah, that's excellent. That sounds like a great opening for the first game. It's also time for our only ad read of the podcast. I'm so excited.
Woo!
Woo!
Ready to win money and boost your odds? WynnBET is now live in Arizona, Colorado, Indiana, Louisiana, Michigan, New Jersey, New York, Tennessee, and Virginia. We're bringing the excitement of Wynn Las Vegas to online sports betting and casino play. Exclusive rewards are right at your fingertips with Wynn Rewards on WynnBET. Looking to get involved in a same-game parlay? WynnBET is your home with the WynnBET Build Your Own Bet, letting you customize the bet you want to make. Great promos, odds, and payouts are happening right now at WynnBET. WynnBET has what you need to win. Ready to play? Sign up today to receive a special offer. Bet $100, win $100. There's so much to choose from. All you have to do is head over to sportsgamblingpodcast.com/WynnBET so they know we sent you. That's sportsgamblingpodcast.com/WynnBET, WynnBET, to claim your free bet today. Offer subject to change. Terms and conditions at WynnBET.com. Must be 21 or older and present in the state where playthrough WynnBET is available. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700. Next game, Scott.
I do not have a gambling problem. I just want to put that out there.
It's not gambling if you win.
And I'm winning, so it's not a problem. All right. Let's talk about somebody who has had a problem, and he's coming back from his problem. 2 years later, he's returning to the scene of the crimes, allegedly, even though it's been around the world. But Deshaun Watson returning to Houston, 47-point total here. Houston is +7 at home. They've been terrible. Their defense, not as terrible as their offense. Their offense has been just suboptimal in general. Last week, they ran into a buzzsaw. Just Tyreek Hill, you've got a defense that was swarming as well. What do you think about this matchup? I think Houston can get destroyed, but not necessarily because of Deshaun Watson. I think their defense is okay, but their offense is so bad.
Nick Chubb.
Lots of Chubb.
Nick Chubb.
Yeah.
That's all you want to play. Nick Chubb.
So much Chubb. He's 8K, just a simple flat rate. Don't overthink it. Just go full Chubb.
Full Chubb.
I love Full Chubb. I think it's a great play in this game. He's the kind of back to, and I'm not going to shade on Derrick Henry. Derrick Henry takes a few steps to get going. So does Nick Chubb. Once they get going, though, you're not going to stop them. And both of these guys have that power. I think Nick Chubb has the speed a little quicker than Derrick Henry has to get through that line where he cannot get caught. Derrick Henry, after 15 yards, you're not catching him. I think it's like 7 or 8 yards for Nick Chubb. Once he goes through and he hits a hole, man, he is
has the whole package.
Oh my gosh.
Nick Chubb is laterally quick. He's a tackle breaker between the tackles. He's quick. Mm-hmm. He's fast. He breaks. He has the nastiest stiff arm other than Derrick Henry.
Right.
And breakaway speed. He's everything you want in a running back. That's it. Nick Chubb.
Yes. Yes.
Damian Pierce is like the wish.com version of Nick Chubb. And he's on the other side and the Browns can't stop the run either. So I'm thinking this both of these teams are going to want to establish the run with their great running backs that are up in great matchups. Like the Texans can't tackle. The Browns have a terrible front four that gets pushed around by everybody. So I think both these running backs could be viable in this game. I don't think I would go dueling banjos with them because neither one of them are pass catchers. But having each one of them in my player pool is going to be key. Pierce as more of a leverage option because he's going to be kind of flying under the weeds. He hasn't done anything the last couple of weeks, so I expect him to be lower owned. The passing games, I'm not too excited about. Of course, not playing anybody on the Houston Texans in the passing game. It's just dead.
No.
It's if you want to do a Deshaun Watson stack, I probably would shy away from Amari Cooper, and I'd probably shy away from anybody except for David Njoku. That's the player I want to stack Watson with this week if I'm going to do it. And I don't think I'm going to do it a whole lot because I don't expect Watson coming into his first game in 2 years against the number two pass defense in the NFL. I don't expect him to light up the scoreboard.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think it'll be a more of a defensive struggle.
Just a struggle.
I think running the football, they can really do some damage there. But I don't think there's going to be, high passing volume for huge touchdowns. Talking about somebody who hasn't played with the ones for a while, a long time, hasn't been on NFL field for almost 2 years. So I think he's still electric. He can still run around and do stuff. But I think the offense is going to be more run heavy in this matchup. And I expect Full Chubb, like you said. Okay, let's jump to Denver, Baltimore. Baltimore at home catching 8.5. Denver can't score. They can't. I mean, if they scored 18 points per game, they'd be like undefeated or something. Like, it's just ridiculous.
They'd be 9-2.
9-2, right? They'd be first place in the NFL. So, I mean, they can't. Russell Wilson, Broncos country is not riding with him. It is over. Do you think this game could get bigger blowout than this? Because Denver does have a good defense, but last week we saw them not do well.
I'm not a huge fan of either team. I don't think it's going to be particularly a fun game to watch. Baltimore hasn't played very well. So what do you want me to do? It's like, yeah. What if the Ravens get off to another big lead? Are they going to keep it? They've blown four of them this year.
Yeah, Lamar's fault, by the way. In his defense, he should have been out there like the 12th man, like the Raiders guy who ran out on the field during the interception. Yeah, like, come on, Lamar, what are you doing? Why aren't you doing
that? I think he went out to celebrate, but didn't realize the whistle hadn't blown yet, so he just jumped right in.
Yeah,
he
jumped, let me block. It's so great.
Hey, that was actually pretty resourceful.
Hey, you know what? They didn't catch him until after the fact, so.
This game's going to be super boring. Super boring.
Well, I was going to say, all the running backs are under 5,400 and under. So you could state a case for Latavius possibly, because Baltimore can run on them. I'm not sure I want really
Gus
any
Edwards. People. Gus yeah, Edwards.
5,400.
Well, that's Denver can be run on too. It's the pass defense that's really good. The problem is, do we really want to roster guys have no receiving upside who might get stuffed all game? Because if you know they can't pass on you on either side, you're going to load the box, and then you have a bunch of guys averaging 3 yards a carry taking up your salary cap, and you have very little upside unless they score multiple touchdowns. So not excited about anybody in this game, literally. I mean, nobody. I don't even want to play the defenses because it's going to be like you're going to have three random tight end or fullback touchdowns in this game.
What's crazy is after Lamar Jackson 7,800 and Mark Andrews at 6,600, the prices are 55 and below. Like, it is like five below. Like a fire
sale. They should all be min price. They're all
terrible. It is crazy. But one of those guys could do something. So just, you know, play
somewhere,
random.
Somewhere.
Yeah. No, I don't.
Somewhere, sometime, there could be somebody doing something in this game.
Maybe something. All right, let's jump to another game that's going to have maybe somebody doing something. But it's the Giants hosting the Washington Commanders. 2.5-point home underdogs, which is interesting. This seems to be a run fest written all over it with Saquon.
Another one?
Brian
another
Robbins. One? Yeah, another double run fest. Only difference is the prices are a little higher with Saquon being, you know, 8,200. How much Saquon are you going to have this week?
10-20% at the most.
He's rostered right now at 6%, so you'd have some nice leverage there.
Yeah,
over the field.
And he's the kind of guy you never want to go 0%, even though he's struggled lately. This whole Giants team has struggled lately.
Yeah.
The Commanders, talk about chalky. Brian Robinson's going to be chalky.
He's like 3% right now.
It's that won't hold because Gibson's not practicing. If Brian Robinson stays at 3%, then of course you play him.
Yeah.
Especially if Gibson's out.
Did you hear Ryan Clark? I hate this game. Yeah. Did you hear Ryan Clark's synopsis on the Commanders establishing a team identity? It was pretty good thought process. They shared it here in the local market. And he said, basically, if you're in practice every day, up against the Jonathan Allen and Montez Sweat and all these tough defensive linemen, and you're establishing the run, right? That's what you're trying to do. You're trying to kind of establish Brian Robinson now in your offense. You're getting better because you're up against some of the best in the league, and you're creating identity of like our defense stops the run and we run the ball. And so I kind of like that.
That's how they beat the Eagles.
Now they beat the Eagles. And they saw last week with Brian Robinson, I mean, he was back, you know, and he was running the football again. He was running over people, crushing DBs on the edge. Like, I love just seeing DBs get destroyed by running backs. I also love seeing running backs get tackled by DBs. Sometimes, like Deion Sanders, one of my favorite DBs to see come up and just cut off the legs of a running back. But Brian Robinson was putting in the work. So I love him at 5,300, and I kind of want Gibson to play, but then not be used. So please, be in questionable game time decision. He goes, and then Robinson kind of gets the bulk. That's kind of my hope. Yeah, I'm still
not that excited about Robinson because this touchdown last week where he was completely uncovered out of the backfield because nobody expects him to catch a pass, let alone run a route. And other than that, he did absolutely nothing with his touches. Absolutely nothing. Brian Robinson's not good, guys. In the Giants front, it has been pretty tough against the run. They're even tougher against the pass. And I just don't like this game. I don't like that there's good players here that are just going to be muddied up in a pretty low scoring divisional battle. If I'm going to play anybody, it's going to be Daniel Jones just by himself.
I will say this. Brian Robinson had 18 carries for over 100 yards and averaged 5.8 yards per carry. So he wasn't getting huge plays, but, you know, I mean, take away the touchdown, he's at 17.5.
The good part about Robinson's game last week was that he earned more touches in the leverage situations, and that was huge.
Right. He's the red zone back. We already kind of know that, but now he's able to be used in other formats too. So, all right, let's jump to the Green Bay Packers. Does biggest question of the week. Does Jordan Love start or does Aaron Ayahuasca Rodgers climb back in the saddle one more time?
Rodgers is going to start and Jordan Love shouldn't start ever, no matter what. Even if you throw a little crossing route and let Christian Watson run like a gazelle away from everybody, Jordan Love is still horrible, terrible, all-time worst first-round pick in NFL history. This guy sucks. I don't care what he did last week. That was a wide-open receiver that he found for that long touchdown. This is still a very bad quarterback. And I won't back off of that unless he shows me like 3 or 4 whole games where he can play quarterback at this level. I will not believe in Jordan Love. So I hope Aaron Rodgers goes out there, even if it's just him like the Black Knight and Monty Python with no limbs and busted up ribs. It's only a flash wound. He's still better in that state than Jordan Love is at 100%.
So he's only 5,800. So if he plays, do you play him?
No. The Packers are terrible. They're going nowhere.
They are terrible.
Play Aaron Jones. Play Aaron Jones a million times over.
What about Justin Fields, full participant today in practice?
I love Fields.
Yeah.
But Montgomery is the one that benefits from Fields playing. Like, I want, if Fields, yeah, if Fields plays, Montgomery is going to be one of my favorite running back plays, because we just saw this Packers run defense give up 363 yards to the Eagles. Yikes.
They're still scoring touchdowns on them. Yeah, this could be a
Montgomery against that run defense, give him 20 carries. That could be fun.
I forgot to tell you, Chicago's catching 3.5. This might be the game of the week here over at the Simpson house for my sports book. You know, if Fields plays.
It seems like a pretty sharp line to me.
I know. If Fields there, I'm gonna take it. They're at home. I like that. Aaron Rodgers, they're bitter. They're out for blood against Aaron Rodgers, man. That guy's owned them, and he tells them.
They don't have the ability. They still can't win games. Even when Fields is out there, they're losing. They have one of the worst defenses in the league. You can't trust them to win a game or cover a spread.
I don't know.
Aaron Rodgers still owns them.
We'll see. We will see. This is the tipping point. All right. Let's jump over to a game that I'm really looking forward to. We got some priced up players in the Philadelphia Eagles hosting the Tennessee Titans, 4.5-point home favorites here. I think the line should be a little bit higher, but that's just me. What do you think? What do you think in this matchup? We got Derrick Henry. We've got AJ Brown. We've got Jalen Hurts, just a bunch of priced up 8K guys.
I'm betting the under, heavy under, because the Titans defense is getting ultra disrespected in this game. The Titans are the exact team that can beat the Eagles. They have a great, great elite defense. Sound like any other team we just saw? The only team that's beaten the Eagles is a team that can run the ball, and stop the run. That's the only type of combination of team that can beat the Eagles right now, the way they're rolling.
Kind of important.
And the last time I checked, the Commanders don't even have Derrick Henry. And the Commanders have a great run defense, but so do the Titans. They have Jeffrey Simmons up there. They have a lot of great, big, great run stoppers on the Titans. They have Derrick Henry. Tannehill is a huge step up over Heinicke. So this is a game where I'm taking all the points for Tennessee. I'm calling the upset. I'm going to bet money line Titans. I think this is the game where the Eagles again show that they're not that tough of a team if you have the right formula to beat them. A lot of these NFL teams have kind of built around finesse, quick passing, timing routes, and the Eagles just eat them alive because their secondary is so good. And then the Eagles' offensive line bullies them on the other end. The Eagles can beat a lot of teams, but the teams that can run the football and stop the run and play physical, like Mike Vrabel's teams always do, those are the teams that can give the Eagles everything they want and more. So Derrick Henry, yes. Titans defense at the very bottom of the pricing scale, 2,200. That's my lock of the week.
I'm going to go, and one of my favorite, I'm going to go contrarian on you, because I don't disagree with you that their defense is getting some disrespect. They're good defense. Man, I like A.J. Brown coming back against them. Like A.J. Brown in the revenge.
The revenge narrative makes so much sense.
Yes, it's strong. I mean, Danny Carter got blocked because he made fun of this guy's emotions, and he's got a gold chain that he wears during the game. This guy is awesome. So I think he's just going to be crushing. I think he gets 2 touchdowns from Jalen Hurts. So I like stacking them up. I'm going to go other narrative, and that is this is a great game that gets like 27-24. Goes over the total and is the game to watch. And this is what I want it to be. Maybe it's wishful thinking here, because you know Tennessee doesn't score that many points, but you have to. Philadelphia just is one of the top scoring teams in the league. You know, they scored 40 last week and they could have scored more. They could have kept running. So I do think this game,
awful defense.
I agree. But I mean, Jalen Hurts can beat you either way. He can beat you with his feet. He had 75 rushing yards in the first like 8 minutes of the quarter.
He had 103 in the first quarter.
Yeah, I'm saying, but at the 8 minute mark, he had already had like 75, which is insane. He was on pace for like 500 yards. So
he won't rush for 50 in this game, I would bet.
Well, here's the thing: the Titans are 26th against the quarterback, so they have not been great against the quarterback. They have not been tremendous.
Against passing quarterbacks. Jalen Hurts, as his last two games, he's averaging 16 rushing attempts. They're not even really trying to throw the ball right now. Yeah, he does. But again, when you make them one dimensional against what their game plan is, like Washington did, how many points did they score on Washington? 20?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Is that what they scored? I can't remember this final score. I think so. That game. Yeah. I think this is
27-24. Yeah.
Yeah. So I have a feeling that we're going to see a floor game from Jalen Hurts and the Eagles. It's going to be a letdown. They're going to get punched in the mouth. And I still can't get over how soft this Philly team is when there's a team that's another alpha dog team with a similar structure.
Well, I will say this. Philadelphia, even though they haven't passed the ball, they can pass the ball. And Tennessee is 31st against wide receivers.
Oh, yeah. They're
giving up
they're 14 getting, they're getting eaten alive, yes. Yeah, they're getting right. eaten
if
alive.
You put, if you put A.J. Brown on the edge against their one-on-one defenders, he's going to make a commercial out of them on Sunday. So
I'm not disagreeing with that.
That's what I think they're going to do. I think that's what they're going to do. Like, if you have a mismatch and you got a hungry animal, you feed him the rock. So I'm going strong A.J. in this because, I mean, I can't see it
happening. I'm playing a lot of A.J. too. I'm going to do Derrick Henry, A.J. Brown, Titans defense because I still think they're going to get sacks and turnovers.
You're ballsy, my friend. You are.
Ballsy. We're not disagreeing. We're just taking different angles at the same
time. They have different angles of this game. Yes, I agree. Yeah. I think Philly wins the game, though. And you think Tennessee wins, or do you think they just cover the spread?
I think they cover, but with a chance of winning. And I know I'm going to get good odds on the money line.
It could be overtime. It could be a field goal in overtime or a touchdown. Depends. So, yeah, no, I like it. All right, let's move to a game that I'm trying to figure it out here. I don't have a lot of feelings towards it. Pittsburgh at Atlanta, 1 point. Underdog, a home underdog for Atlanta. How are you approaching this game? You got a lot of low prices here. No one's really priced up. No one's over 6K in this game, which is crazy. Or Najee Harris is 6 points. Nobody else is over it, though.
Well, Najee's also in danger of not playing with his abdominal injury, which is great if you want to play Jalen Warren this week against the Falcons defense is atrocious. They can't stop anybody. So what we're doing here is we're going to have a full-on value leverage Pittsburgh Steelers onslaught.
Ooh,
yeah.
I like it.
Steelers defense is in play. Deontay Johnson, George Pickens. Pat Freiermuth is my tight end one this week overall, over Kelsey and everything. I think Freiermuth is going to go ballistic against this defense. Kenny Pickett is going to have a ceiling game. For him, that's 20 points, 25 points. Yeah. But you can save so much salary with these Steelers weapons because the last couple of weeks they've been actually running the ball. Their offensive line looks better somehow. Apparently Matt Canada figured something out because they look good lately. And TJ Watt being back on that defense covers up all those terrible defensive backs that they've been running out there. That's a whole different team.
Oh, Watt makes it a completely different team because he can get to the edge and set that edge and against the run game. And then he also can go around the edge and force the quarterback to get off his reads. So
yeah,
it's just disruption 101.
It's funny how we see a lot more Cameron Hayward in the backfield too, because they have to double Watt on every play.
It's just like death by a thousand cuts. I love how Pittsburgh's always had a stout defense. Are you taking the under in this game if there's an onslaught type situation? Or are they Pittsburgh's not going to blow them out by 40. Do they score, you know, is it 25, 20 to 10 to 7? How does Atlanta come
at? My prediction was that Atlanta would not score an offensive touchdown.
I like this. This is ballsy, my friend. This is the ballsy call of the week so far. I'm not into Atlanta this
20,
week.
20 to 6. That's my call.
Okay. 26. That's a great call. I'm into that. I'm going to ride with that too. And I'm going to take the bet here for Pittsburgh. I'm going to ride Pittsburgh to some money this weekend. Talking about riding some money, this might be the best game hotly contested. Jets at Minnesota, -3 for Minnesota. We got a great defense for the Jets, but they're traveling, right? And they got an emergent Mike White who can actually throw touchdowns. On the other side, yeah, Minnesota, they're in first place in the Central. Holy moly, Airedale School Nation.
They have the second best record in the NFL.
That's crazy, man. They beat the Bills.
Yeah, they're a good team. You know? I mean, we saw their worst against the Cowboys, but they since then they look good against the Patriots on Thanksgiving. So they're not bad. Like they went in and beat the tar out of Belichick's Patriots last week.
Yeah,
but This Vikings team, team is just a year ahead of the Jets. The Jets are a year ahead of schedule in their rebuild. And now that they have Mike White, they're not losing games because of the quarterback, which is good. But, I mean, even Zach Wilson is 5-2 as a starter this year. He was awful. They won despite him. But this defense is really good for the Jets. At the same time, the Vikings are just a better team. Dalvin Cook. Oh, yeah. All the Dalvin Cook. I am all over Dalvin Cook.
7,200. That is cheap Dalvin, bro.
Shh.
What are we talking about, man?
And, of course, you don't want to full fade Justin Jefferson. But at his price, don't get too much of him because Sauce Gardner has only allowed one first down in all season in man coverage. One.
That's not good.
One first down. No touchdowns. One first down all season.
Yeah.
That's insane. Yeah. That's not just rookie of the year status. That's elite all pro status. Yeah. And the other guy on the other side, DJ Reed, isn't much worse. He's really good too. This is the best tandem corners in the AFC. If you say Bradbury and Slay are the best in the NFC, the AFC is obviously Sauce and Reed. This is a tough matchup for Jefferson and Thielen, and especially Kirk Cousins.
Yeah,
well, but I think Dalvin Cook goes ballistic. Yeah. Hawkinson's going to have a good game, but Dalvin Cook is the money shot for this game.
So let me ask you a question. If you're running it back Garrett Wilson.
Chalk bomb, I don't care. He's going to eat.
Is Patrick Peterson going to be particularly on one side of the field? Is he going to be in zone?
No, there's zone. He's going to stick to his left corner spot in zone. He won't travel. He won't need to. They run a lot of cover four quarters and cover two man. So, no, it's not going to matter where Peterson is because these corners for Minnesota aren't good. They rely on their pass rush to get home. And I think that's going to get to Mike White. Mike White had a great game last week. Don't take that away from him, but that was against the Bears. The Bears have no pass rush. They have no coverage. They can't stop.
They trade away their pass rush.
They trade away everybody.
Yeah.
And so compare that to the Vikings who have a bad secondary, but can get after the passer. And they're actually scoring a lot of points in fantasy for their DST. Mm-hmm. Is if I'm going Dalvin Cook, I'm stacking with that $3,700 Vikings defense because Mike White last year when he had a huge game, they went back to Zach Wilson because he threw four picks against the Bills.
I do remember that. Yeah, it was terrible.
Because at one point we were like, oh, do they go back to Zach Wilson when he's healthy or do they stick with Mike White? And then when he threw four picks against Buffalo, like, well, I guess when Zach is healthy again, we'll go back to Zach because he's our first round pick. And this year it's different, but I think Mike White still has a very high likelihood of turning back into a pumpkin. And this Vikings defense might force the Jets to really make a tough choice.
What do you think about Chandon Sullivan lined up against Elijah Moore? He's got 4.6 speed. That's not as fast as Elijah Moore.
Elijah Moore 4.39. I think he might have some trouble. The problem is we haven't seen Elijah Moore on the field enough. He was at 40% of the snaps, 35% of the routes, and still two targets, two catches, one touchdown. His other catch was a 42-yard yak monster run, and they still wouldn't put him on the field, even though he looks completely unstoppable. Every time he is on the field, nobody can cover him, and yet he's still doghouse.
And yet.
Where you play him in GPP and hope that he – works his way out of the doghouse a little bit more because he's so explosive.
Yeah. I mean, he's just so cheap too at 3,700. It's kind of like,
so nice. He's definitely in the player pool. I love Elijah Moore so much and it pisses me off to see him in the doghouse.
Did you see his at press conference all dressed up talking about him kissing the football?
Yeah. So talked to the ball yesterday. When he scored the touchdown, he was so elated. It was such a relief that he caught that touchdown. Yeah. Yeah, it was great. I love that guy. He's a good player. That guy loves the game more than life itself.
Yeah.
He's our kind of
people. He was dying. He was dying because his quarterback was into MILFs, instead of football. Well, so,
everybody who catches passes for the Jets was dying because he wouldn't throw the ball to anybody.
He was padded. He was doing the Carson Wentz. Then he was fast. He could run around a little bit and like and throw the ball away, but not great. Speaking of great, this might be the game of the afternoon, except that Kansas City's on the slate too. But I love this matchup. It's Mike McDaniel's return home, all right, to San Francisco. Miami, they're underdogs by 4 points. 46.5. It's a high total here. San Francisco's got a lockdown D, man. They've been crushing everybody. How do you see this game playing out?
Miami is going to destroy them.
Oh,
plain and simple.
I love
the Niners have been shutting out bad offenses. Every time they play an offense, there's something wrong with that offense. It's either Andy Dalton is the starting quarterback or Herbert's out there, but his two top receivers aren't playing. We have the last time they played a full strength offense, Mahomes would put up 44 on them. So this defense is pretty fraudulent. They've been really fortunate with their schedule. Yes, they're a great defense. Yes, they are. Mm-hmm. They are doing what they need to do to win games. The offense is explosive at times, but last week they kind of got exposed as, oh, if our running backs aren't healthy, then our passing game, we can't put up a lot of points. Is Jimmy Garoppolo still Jimmy Garoppolo?
He is.
This is a really tough. With
them, you're in trouble. You're in trouble with the shootout.
We're talking about a head coach, Mike McDaniel, who was just on the staff drawing up plays for the same team in the same system less than a year ago. Yeah. Led them to the NFC Championship game running that scheme. And now you're telling me that this Niners team that doesn't have Tua Tagovailoa, they don't have Tyreek Hill or Jalen Waddle, they don't have Jeff Wilson or Raheem Mostert anymore. This Dolphins offense is unstoppable. They are undefeated with Tua for a reason. This is an unstoppable offense, and the 49ers in the secondary are 21st. That's not good. And you're going to get an offense that's going to run. They're going to throw the ball a ton.
What do you think about Christian McCaffrey running it back? He's expensive. $8,600.
He's expensive, and he's got knee tendonitis, so he's going to play, but how much he actually does for that salary, it's going to be tough. It's going to be tough to play him.
It's really tough. He's got to get 2 touchdowns to support that salary because you can
get... Or catch 10 passes. If we get a McCaffrey 10-catch game, then we're fine. Like, if he pulls an Eckler from last week... Well, no, it doesn't matter. Like, this defense is awful for Miami. This is an over game all the way.
It is an over game. I don't know if they run... Like, Jimmy G doesn't hustle him up to the line to the 2-minute drill is not, maybe they're losing, 21-0, and they got to do the 2-minute drill where you get those, repeated pass.
I think Garoppolo is it, because I do expect some chalk in this game. Maybe not from Tua. I like Tua stacks to leverage the two receivers, but Jimmy Garoppolo as a leverage play is pretty good. George Kittle's only 5K.
Sorry.
And yeah, you're always doing that. George Kittle, 5K flat against the 30th ranked defense against tight ends.
That sounds like a week.
It sounds like a really smart play to do a little skinny stack with Jimmy G and Kittle, or even with Ayuk, who's 6,100. He's getting way more work than Debo. Debo's a full fade because he's been nothing. He's hurt. And he's been phased out of his huge workload because of McCaffrey.
Yeah, I love them dissecting that play score on the reverse touchdown. But if you don't get that touchdown, you're missing 6 points on that. That's a big one play score for him. So you
Debo's big huge plays. Ceiling game went away when McCaffrey got there.
Yeah,
because he doesn't get the volume to support a weekly play.
Yeah, well, I might just do a parlay and stack up Pittsburgh with Miami. Do some road dogs. Well, it's not dogs.
I'm taking Miami money line over. Miami's going to win by double digits.
Watch. I like this. It's gonna be excited. So, all right, 3 games left. We'll get you out of here. Kind of long slate. We're trying to be efficient, but so many good plays. Seattle going into the Rams. Oh man, the Rams are just left for dead. Rams are 7-point
<They're done>.
Home underdogs. I think Seattle trucks and stucks them, as they say. What do you think about this total? And what happens in this matchup?
I think Seattle wins, but I think it's closer than people think. This Rams defense still playing hard. They're still talented. Seattle probably ends up winning this game, but I'm not running out there to play any of their weapons because I don't think they're going to have ceiling games. Kenneth Walker's going up against a really good run defense. Lockett and DK are good plays, but not great plays.
6K for Lockett, though.
Oh. That's nice. It's nice. But I like nice. Kyren Williams. I like Kyren Williams 5,200 on the back end. We just saw 300 scrimmage yards from Josh Jacobs against the Seahawks defense.
Oh, yeah. Dominant.
300 scrimmage yards. You realize how many that's insane. And Kyren Williams got the bell cow roll over Cam Akers last week. I didn't see that coming. I thought Cam would be the first two downs and then Kyren would come in for third down. Well, Kyren's just taken over. And he's probably the least athletic running back in the NFL right now, but he's good at football. And when you're good at football and the coach likes you because you actually can pass block and catch passes and make the right calls and reads on option routes, he's going to keep seeing the field. And the Seattle defense cannot stop running backs. They just can't.
No, they can't.
Kyren Williams, 5,200. That's one of my favorite value plays.
Well, what happened to Kenneth Walker last week? He just stopped playing. Did he get hurt? Was there an undisclosed injury?
No, we're seeing Homer. No, he's a boom or bust running back. He likes to dance around and look for big plays, a lot like Saquon. He's a lot like Saquon, where if he doesn't have room to run, he's not going to go anywhere. He's just going to dance around until they tackle him in the backfield. So yeah, the last two games we're seeing like 2 yards a carry from Kenneth Walker. He relies a lot on big plays, and his big plays salvage his weeks. And the last couple of weeks, he hasn't busted any big runs. He might bust one here. I mean, you don't want to full fade Kenneth Walker either because he's so talented, but 2 yards of carry ain't paying the bills these days.
No, it's boom or bust. And in this matchup, I think it's going to be more bust. I don't think that the Rams put a bunch of a fight, though. I think Seattle's going to beat them, but I think it'll be through the air. That's kind of where
it's got to be. It's got to be.
Yeah, it's got to be. Let's talk about the game of the week that I'm really excited about. Next two games, both are kind of big total games. 53 points, though, for Kansas City going into Cincinnati. What do you think about that number? That's a big, big number.
Big, big number. Big, fun game to watch. Kansas City wants revenge. They lost to the Bengals twice last year. They lost during the season. They lost in the divisional round of the playoffs. And Ja'Marr Chase was the one that did it to them both times. Because remember, we like to see the Kansas City Chiefs like to go man up. They like to send those zero blitzes and put their corners on islands. And guess who the best quarterback in the league is against the blitz? Joe Burrow. Ooh, and the best wide receiver against man coverage in the league? Ja'Marr Chase. Yeah. Not a good combination for the Chiefs. I think they mix it up a little bit more this time. Travis Kelce on his show with his brother already said that he felt like he didn't play his best football in either one of those games. So him and Patrick are going to be really looking to put up a big statement performance. So I'm back on board. If you see Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce on the main slate, as in they're not in prime time that week, you play them. It's expensive, but it's worth it.
It's true. Yeah. And running back with T. Higgins too. T. Higgins.
Or Chase. Or my favorite leverage play from a couple weeks ago, Joe Mixon's back.
He is back. His concussion cleared. He's limited in practice today, which is good. It means he can be full go tomorrow, hopefully. So, yeah.
Joe Mixon's back.
I like that. Are you playing any of the other weapons for Patrick Mahomes? Any wide receivers for them? Any Juju? Any Marquez? All of them. Watson?
All of them. You play all of them. They're all in the pool. Because this is a ceiling game. You don't want to miss out on whoever's going to score the long touchdown.
Yeah. But I think this is
a lot more exposure to Kelce.
I'm wondering if this game hits 53. Do you think that this game shoots?
Yes.
Last two games did.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yeah. It is a high-powered offensive weaponry in this
game. Sides, yeah. Both sides can put the ball in the end zone just fine.
Well, it's true. All right. Last game, and then we'll get you out of here.
My favorite.
This is your favorite. Yeah. This is the LA Chargers going to Vegas, who is a 1-point home favorite.
This is the shootout. This is the shootout. This is the game that goes over 60 this week.
Ooh, guns a-blazing. Well, you know the Raiders don't play defense. So
no, they don't.
No.
And Justin Herbert knows that. Keenan Allen knows that. Austin Eckler knows that. Josh Palmer even knows that. I'm going to be doing the second mortgage stack on the Chargers side.
I mean, if you look at Allen, he's only 6,500. That's an insult.
61, I think. What, 65?
No, Allen's 65. Yeah.
Okay.
He's 65. Yeah, that's just an insult.
I'm playing a Herbert, Eckler, Keenan Allen stack, and running it back with Davante Adams, second mortgage stack.
Second mortgage stack. I like that. If you wanted to pay down for DeAndre Carter, he seems to slip by the defense every week too. He's 3,900 in GPP.
Hey, shout out NorCal.
Yeah, another NorCal drink, DeAndre, everybody.
DeAndre Carter, alumnus of Sacramento State, the Hornets. Yeah. Stingers up.
This would be a game where maybe you do implore the dueling banjos. This might be the best dueling banjos. I mean, it's pricey, $7,900 for Eckler.
Jacobs and Eckler,
$7,900 for Jacobs, sure. $85, right? Yeah,
they might be RB1 and 2 this week.
Yeah.
Eckler because he catches so many passes, and Jacobs because the Chargers can't stop the run.
And they're going to give him 25 carries. So
at least. You know, he had 39 touches last week.
Yeah. I mean, it's the floor. Purple Cat. I like Zay Jones this week in PPR. I think he's a flex play, depending on who you have, though. I don't think he is going to be the best Jaguars play. I think Bo was on that, too. I think it'll be Christian Kirk in the slot.
22 targets last two games for Zay? That's a pretty solid pick.
Hey, tell people who won the chalk block tournament last week. Oh, my battery's
low. I believe it was some jerk named Simpson. And he doesn't know how to leave his laptop plugged in so it doesn't die. So yes, old man Simpson won the chalk block tournament last week. I don't even remember what I finished, but it wasn't close. Do you know what I finished? I don't even know. I'll have to go back and look, but I know I wasn't in contention for winning.
Yeah. No, I was crushing it, and it was because of Zay Jones, 30.5 points. And then I also played Jordan Akins in the tight end position, got me 18 points. Those are DFS darlings. Put them out at my own tournament. So, yeah. All right, Purple.
I didn't get dead last. I did not get DFL, but I was 17th out of 23 because other than my very high leveraged core plays of Geno Smith and Austin Eckler, along with DK Metcalf. That's about all I had.
Yeah.
The rest of my guys were snowflakes.
It was a little bit of a show. Who would you start here for Purple Cat? He's got Zay Jones, but he also has Treylon Burks, Deontay Johnson.
Zay Jones. Better matchup.
Yeah, I agree. Excellent. Well, Mr. Bo underscore my big time, where can people find you? Oh, I think I gave it away.
Bo underscore McBigtime. That's it.
Yeah.
Go on Twitter. Hit me up. That's it.
Talk some shit to him. Follow him so he can get to 8K. Okay. You can go unfollow me to follow him if you need to. I'm okay.
Yeah, please do. There's 4,000 of you out there that follow him and not me. And I think it's
a sex bot, Bo. It's a sex bot. I'm not going to. I have a high. Well,
did you hear that before Trump got deactivated a couple of years ago? 92% of his followers were not actual people. 92% of 4 million followers. 92% of 4 million. That's not good.
That's like
he had half a million real people and half a million real people following him. And probably most of those were government entities. and then a bunch of Russian bots.
Right, of course. Yeah. Well, I'm trying to get less bots and more thoughts and prayers in my DFS lineup. So we'll see you guys on the mean streets of DFS. Tweet us out. See you guys next time for the Sports Gambling Podcast Network Fantasy Football YouTube channel. Jingle that bell, like and subscribe. We'll see you guys